How many of you will do it for his glory? Amen. Hallelujah. Wherever he asks you to go, whatever he asks you to do, are you willing to do it? It's another song that simply says, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I'll trust you and obey. And one thing we got to do, we cannot forget the hymns of a hymn that simply says, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to him. I freely give. Come on, anybody know that? It says, God, I give you everything. I surrender it all to you. In 2023, God, we're going to give it all to you. How many of y'all are glad to be in 2023? That's it? Listen, 2022, we've been through some stuff in the last 3 years. Have we been through, these last 3 years have been something else, but has God been faithful? I know he's been faithful because you're here this morning. Hallelujah. I know he's been faithful because you're here today. Somebody said it could have been the other way. Amen. If you're glad to be here in a new year, we didn't have watch night service. Why don't you stand on your feet and give God a hand praise? You can give him a hand praise. You can shout hallelujah right where you are. If you're grateful for what he did last year, if you're thankful and you're anticipating what he's going to do this year, let me hear you shout, thank you, Lord. If you know he's going to do great things, say, thank you, Jesus. If you're grateful for how he's kept you, say, thank you, Lord. Come on, give him glory in this house. Hallelujah. He deserves it. He deserves it. Hallelujah. He's been good to us. Old folks used to say, he's been better to me than I've been than I have been to myself. Amen. How many know that's the truth? Because sometimes we ain't good to ourselves. We can be hard-headed. We can be disobedient, but we serve a God who has been faithful and he's consistent. I thank God that he's consistent. Amen? Amen. Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to Encounter Life Church. Can we give all of our guests a round of applause? If you're a guest this morning at Encounter Life, we are thankful to have you this morning. We're thankful to have you online. Can we give our guests online a round of applause? Amen. Amen. If you're a guest online or if you're a member online, we'll let you know we have not forgotten about you. We love you. We thank you. We praise God for your support. We thank you that you're here this morning. And we just praise God that this last Sunday, Christmas was on Sunday, and today, New Year's on Sunday. What better way to start the new year than in the house of the Lord? Amen. And I know that we're looking for God to do great things in 2023. I put it on Instagram. We breaking free in 2023. Anybody know that? Somebody say, I'm breaking free. Come on, let me hear you. I'm breaking free in 2023. I don't know what you're breaking free from, but God is going to be, I believe he's going to set you free from some stuff that's been holding you back in this year to come. Because how many know that he's a chain-breaking God? He's a way-making God. Amen? He's able to set you free. He's an emancipator. Bible says he who the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. So I know I'm going to walk in freedom in 2023. Amen? Bless the Lord. I'm excited this morning that we have a word from the Lord. Because as we know, as Brother Al mentioned, New Year's resolutions. All of us, many of us, how many of y'all have made New Year's resolutions this year? How many of you got some from last year that you ain't finished yet? Amen, somebody. But listen, this hit me this morning that a lot of times in the new year and at home, we had an opportunity, praise God, to be at home on last night and to just, you know, when you're home and we have family around and you just break in the new year with family, some of you may have watched some church services and we did the same thing. One of the things I notice often when we come to New Year's, a theme, it's a new season. This is your season of breakthrough. This is your season of transition. God's going to be doing new things in 2023, in this new year. We say that year after year after year. Amen? My wife said, she saw something on Instagram the other day. Somebody put up, listen, I'm going to stop eating black-eyed peas. Look, I ain't got rich yet. I've been telling, eat black-eyed peas. For Thanksgiving, for New Year's, all my life, and still ain't got no money. I'm gonna try something different. And I started thinking about that. Look, you know, New Year comes, and as pastors, a lot of times we say, listen, guys, it's going to be a new year. I'm speaking life. I'm speaking transition. I'm speaking this over your life. And we can do that. But you know what the Lord told me this morning? Sometimes you don't need to speak nothing new. Just be consistent with what you were supposed to do last year. So this morning he put in my heart, listen, it's a new year, but it's the same mission. It's a new year, but the same mission. Sometimes I want to, and it sounds good and it feels good, because a lot of times we want newness in our life. We want to see God do an amazing thing. And we look at God doing great things in the lives of other people, and we see how it's going. We say, okay, this is going to be my year. But do you know what I've understood and I've come to understand? When you see that breakthrough happen, that breakthrough is happening actually probably as a years and years worth of little small steps being consistent in little small things. And so as we look into this new year, this is going to be a new year. The question is, are you going to be consistent with the small things you started last year? And so today, and I'm speaking to us as individually, but this message is for us as a church body. I thought it would be an amazing time on the first Sunday of the new year, which is the first day of the new year, to talk about the new year, but the same mission, and moving forward together with what God has called us to do as a church. Some people call it Vision Sunday. This morning I got one scripture that we're going to look at. It's in Habakkuk chapter 2. Some of you are familiar with it. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. We're going to get there. But this morning for our church, I just want us to review, what is the mission? What are we supposed to be here for? As we move in to this new season, this next year, God is calling us as a church to be consistent with the vision, consistent with the mission. With wherever you are, God is calling you to be consistent with what he asked you to do last year, maybe the year before that. We got to be consistent. And if you got year after day, month after month, year after year of being consistent, guess what? One day you look up and say, I'm a new person. It doesn't just happen overnight. Something magic, sometimes the new year, you know, I used to feel bad. Man, I got to write down this new stuff, new year. Everybody's writing down New Year's resolutions, what I'm going to do this year new. God said, no, Dwayne, just put your pen down. You got a whole lot of stuff that you were supposed to be doing new last year, year before last, and the year before that. Let's go back to the old landmark and look at the vision, look at the mission, and then take the little steps and just be consistent. Can we do that? And if we do that as a church, man, I believe that we're going to reap a harvest, that because the mission is for the body of Christ is the same. Matthew chapter 28 tells us to go into all the world, teach nations, and make disciples. Same mission, new year. But let's do it. Let's recommit ourselves to that mission this year. Amen? Can we pray? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word, for this day. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the opportunity. For the opportunity, Lord, to get it right, things that we may have dropped the ball on last year. Lord, thank you that you're a God of not a second chance, but another chance. So we thank you that this day, this moment, that this year represents another opportunity for us, Lord, to carry out your mission. Thank you that you've allowed us to participate in your mission, that you allowed us to participate in your work in the world, that you've left us here to be your hands and feet. And Lord God, help us to take ownership of that responsibility and go forth with passion and vision, and Lord, to enlarge your kingdom. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, before we get to our scripture, I talked about New Year's resolutions. Al talked about New Year's resolutions, and on the screen, I'm going to put the top 10 New Year's resolutions. Top 10 New Year's resolutions. I know I heard somebody even mention this last night at my house. Diet and eat healthier. 71% of people want to do that. Anybody have that? That's something that they want to do this year? Amen. Amen. My closet tells me I need to do that. That's how hard it is to find something to wear, because 2022 was a good eating year. Amen. Some stuff that I... Like just the same things I used to do, I don't do no more. Things I used to wear, I can't wear no more. Amen. We got to change some. Number two, exercise more. That goes with diet and lose weight, 54%. Save more and spend less, 32% of people want to do that. To learn a new skill or a hobby, 26% of the people want to do that. Quit smoking, 21%. Read more. That's another good thing. I would encourage you, read more and include the word of God in that. Find another job. Drink less alcohol. And spend more time with family and friends. These are all things, resolutions, things that we say year after year. But I believe if we just be consistent day after day, over time, you'll begin to see God make some amazing changes in your life. Amen? As a church, God wants us to be consistent. And the scripture today is at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. It's from the English Standard Version. It just simply says, and the Lord answered me. He's talking, Habakkuk talking. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, say so he may run who reads it. Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. This morning, what God has given me the charge to do is write the vision, to declare the vision, what God is calling for us in this house, what he's calling for us in this house corporately and as individuals, and make it plain so that you and I can read it and run with it. Amen. Because if you look out on the vision, we're going to look out in the mission statement up front. We want to enlarge God's kingdom. And in order for us to enlarge God's kingdom and see God's work done in the world, in order for you to see it done in your life, you got to be clear on what the vision is. You got to be clear on what the vision is. If you're not clear, you're going to be all over the place. I don't know about you. If you've been on a job or you've been any part of an organization, you got to understand that if people don't understand what the mission and the vision and the value, then people going to do whatever they feel like doing, and it's going to be a whole lot of confusion, and you just be running in circles. A lot of times in our life, we're running in circles. We're on that hamster wheel. We're on that treadmill because we are not clear about what God is calling us to do. And today, God is calling us, and as a church, we can do the same thing. It's so easy for us to look, for me as a pastor, to look at what this church is doing and that church is doing. I see they got that on Instagram or that on TikTok. Maybe we should do this, that, or other thing. And God said, write the vision, make it plain. Get clear. What God has shown me, and this year, Dwayne, you've written it down, but every year, matter of fact, multiple times a year, you got to go back to the landmark. You got to go back to the mission, vision, and values and do what I've called you to do, how I told you to do it. Because if you as a leader not clear, the people definitely ain't going to be clear. If I'm all over the place in my family, I see it. When Dwayne is up and all over the place, my family looking like, oh, what in the world am I supposed to do? We got to be what? Consistent. And today, back in chapter 2, he said, write the vision, make it plain so that they who read it might run. And this is what I know. In order for this church to grow and be all God wanted to be, it ain't going to be the pastor just running. It's going to be all of us running like our hair's on fire. And y'all will run when you're clear on what God has called us to do. So on this first Sunday of the new year, this first Sunday, what we're going to do is we're going to make plain what God is calling us to do. There's four things that we're going to have to do, actions that we must take in order for this church to grow to be all God has called us to be. Because, y'all, things have changed. The pandemic has changed the way we do everything. So we gotta reacquaint ourselves with the vision and the way we accomplish what God has called us to do. Sometimes we got to make some adjustments. But the first thing that we got to do in order for us as a church to be all God has called us to be, not just as a church, in order for you as a husband, you as a wife, you as a student, whatever it is, God, in every station of life, in order for this year to be different, in order for you to begin to make the progress God has called for you, number one, you must look upward. We must look upward, church. In order for us to grow, we will not grow. We will not be who God called us to be without prayer. The battle must be done on our knees. A lot of time we can plan, we can try to do all kinds of different programs, but if we don't bathe it in prayer, we are spinning our wheels. There's a pastor, Pastor Andrew Evans of Australia, the Paradise Assemblies of God. He says, the church may have many activities, but its growth will not be powerful and effective without a strong prayer base. I have found that it is impossible to see church growth without a tremendous prayer foundation. Church, the church will not grow unless we pray for growth. Pastor, as a pastor, I got to pray for growth. My question for us as individuals, do we pray that God will bring a harvest of souls? Are we praying for growth? Are we praying for increase? We got to expect God to do the impossible. I was looking at a study by one pastor out of Canada. What his name is C. Peter Wagner, and he began to study the relationship of prayer and church growth. And he looked at North American churches and he compared them to churches in other parts of the world. And one of the things that he found, this is in Christianity Today poll from a long time ago, it was back in the 80s, but I still think it's relevant. In the poll, it found that American pastors indicated that they personally prayed an average of 15 to 20 minutes a day. Now, when I tell you that makes sense, because when I told you that the churches in America, 85% of the churches in America are declining. 85%, 5% are growing and 10% are staying the same. That's the stats. In this country, 85% of churches are in decline in their numbers. And it says pastors in North America are praying 15 to 20 something minutes a day. Now, when you go and you compare that to churches in places like Japan, in Japan, the daily pastor prayer time averages 44 minutes. South Korea, 90 minutes. And in China, 2 hours. And South Korea, listen, South Korea, it says, listen, the church in South Korea at the turn of the century was non-existent. Today, revival continues, and the largest church in the world for eight denominations is found in Korea. Eight denominations, the largest church in the world, where you find Korea, said the total church represents nearly 35% of their population, and their pastors are praying 90 minutes a day while ours are praying 15 minutes. And our churches are in decline. The church will not grow unless we pray. And too often we're playing and not praying. We do a whole lot of stuff and we can't even focus long enough to pray. Why? Because we got so much. We can't even focus. We're in an instant society. We got Instagram, TikTok. We can't even be still and know he's God because we got so much in our face. God is calling us, church, to pray. A lot of the things that we see needs in the church, we get busy in fix-it mode. Dwayne gets busy in fix-it mode. And God is trying to get me to understand, boy, you can't fix nothing. I want you to begin to rely on me. We must look upward. Church, in 2023, if we're going to be all God has called us to be, we must look upward. We got to get on our knees and pray. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 14 and 15 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Y'all, that's, do you know how powerful of that is to have in your arsenal right there? I challenge you to go back. He said, this is the confidence, this assurance you have in approaching God, that if you ask some things, anything according to his will. If you're asking according to his will, he says, my ear is turned to you. But not only is my ear turned to you, he said, then you know you got whatever you ask of me. So that would behoove me, then I need to find out what is his will. I need to daily get my face and find out what is his will so that his will can direct my prayers, so that I can have assurance that whenever I fall on my face, that I know God, I can get up and say, it's already done. It's already done. That's why as a pastor, I can pray. I can get up and say, God, I want to see an increase, a harvest of souls. I want to see what our mission say. Did you enlarge your kingdom, that you grow this church? Because why? He already said, I will build my church. Dwayne, you won't build a church. I will build the church. So when I say, God, I want to see souls saved, I already know that's his will. He said, it's not my will any perish, but all come to repentance. So when I get on my face, it's already done. But sometimes he's waiting for me to ask. We're so busy working that we're not on our face, God, seeking you and asking, God, when was the last time that you said, God, I want the altar to be so full of people coming to give their life to Christ that we don't have enough room for it? As a pastor, I'm asking, as a member, when is the last time you pray, God, I want us to do so many baptisms this month, we got to get a new baptism pool. Have you prayed that? God, I want to see so much deliverance, God. I want to see such an overflow that we don't know what to do with the people. God said, look, when you ask according to my will, and I already know that's his will. But God said, maybe you're not seeing it because you ain't even believe. Look, sometimes we don't ask because we don't even believe he's going to do it. Amen. I can tell you this. I know sometimes as a pastor, when you can get up and you sometimes, you know what, you do an altar call. And some Sundays, some people come. Some Sundays, they come. No. Sometimes, you know what, I remember sitting up here when Pastor Mac was pastoring and behind him, and he would do the altar call. I got to confess, there's some Sundays I didn't anticipate nobody coming. He said, that's why they're not coming. Because you don't even believe it. He said he didn't do many miracles there. Why? Because of their unbelief. When you say, God, I expect this Sunday that there's going to be souls, say so. Listen, we're going to bring the umbrellas because we're going to ask for rain because we know we're going to bring our umbrellas because we know you're going to answer our prayer. Pray with expectation. This year, church, we got to be a praying church. We got to be more of a praying church. This is strategic in what we're doing because what I'm going to call us to in the coming weeks and in the 3 weeks to follow this is 21 days of prayer and fasting. 21 days of prayer and fasting. And we're going to be talking about this next. We're going to start in that a whole series on that next week. But I'm getting you ready because that's our first day. We got to start praying, y'all. There's so much going on in our world, and we got to stop being selfish in our prayers. So many times, God, bless this, keep me safe. But, God, we want to see not just for me, Lord, but for the advancing of your kingdom. How do we as a church need to pray? How can you pray? If you're a member of Encounter Life Church, how can we pray? Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 gives us an idea. Paul said, we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. See, those are good directions. Ask God, give us clarity on what you want us to do. Give us wisdom and understanding. And as we walk into 2023, you ask Pastor Dwayne, what should we pray for? I'm going to give us several things. Number one, this is my prayer for Encounter Life Church, that we truly encounter the presence of God. Number one, pray that we would experience true worship. That we would experience true worship. Not just the form just coming in the church. That we really, truly do like the name says, that we encounter the presence of God. That he causes us to fall on our faces before him. Number one, pray that this church would experience true worship. Just to be in awe. Worship means to be in awe of. Man, I would love, I can't wait for the day when we walk in this church. I know, and I'm saying it, Sister Kim, I'm gonna pull you out, but Sister Kim always says, sometimes, listen, it gets so good when you get to worship in him. I don't want them people to think I'm crazy. Because I know what I've been through. And sometimes, I don't know about y'all, I know I like to holler. I get the can't help it. And when you've had a true encounter with God, I said it a couple of weeks ago, you get like David, I will become even more undignified than this. When I think of his goodness and all he's done for me, all he's brought me out of, all he has kept me from, I cannot keep it to myself. And then I get an opportunity to come into communion with other people who got a testimony. It ought to be the loudest place on the planet. Today, I don't even know what time it is. I'm hoping that the commanders. I'm hoping that the commanders do what they're supposed to do. I do not have high hopes. But if anybody's out at FedEx Field, they're going to be out there. There's going to be some people shouting and hollering and yelling for the commanders to win a football game. That guess what? Most of the commanders don't know who you, don't know nothing about you. You pay money to get in. They overcharging you for your chips and your water, and you sitting there hollering and screaming for a football team. The owner don't care nothing about you. I'm venting now. But you can, I mean, it'll be loud in there. And why? Because they got one thing in common. They're cheering for this football team. They love this football team that's dressed in burgundy and gold. They grew up rooting for this team. But one thing that baffles me, this team has done nothing for you. But you go to a stadium and it is loud because they are what they are worshiping a football team that they don't know nothing about you. But when we come into the house of the Lord, for a God who woke me up this morning, kept me from danger, has shown me mercy when I knew I was doing what I shouldn't be doing. And I get an opportunity to worship him, I can't even lift my hand. Oh, my prayer is that one Sunday we walk in here, we got to stop the program. Because somebody is in awe of the presence of the Most High God. Oh, I pray that we experience true worship. True worship is when I see myself, listen, like Isaiah, he said, woe is me, I am undone. When I see him in all of his majesty and all of his glory, I can't do nothing but worship him. Oh, I pray that. I pray that for this house. Because he says, listen, he's seeking such to worship him. I pray that today, that Encounter Life in 2023, that we experience true worship. Listen, that's why you can't worry about what people think about you, by because they don't have your testimony. I'm spending a little time right here. There's somebody, I know you've been coming to this church a long time. You want to wave your hand. You want to shout. You want to say, listen, whatever it is, but I don't want people to think I'm crazy. They don't have your testimony. Your testimony is powerful enough that you, listen, you can go crazy. I'm not worshiping for you. You didn't get me here today. You didn't put food on my table. You didn't save me when I was out there lunching. I'm not here for you. So listen, I'm sorry. I will become even more undignified than this when I think of his goodness. My prayer for Encounter Life in 2023 and beyond, that we experience true worship, that we experience that what knowing what it is and how majestic and awesome he is. Number two, I pray that we will know, accept, and obey the word of God. Pray that we will know, accept, and obey the word of God. Not that we just be hearers of the word, that we be doers of his word. And that comes, you know that? True worship, that's connected. When I see how good and awesome he is, then I come to know his word. I got to accept and obey it because he's God. Pray that we will know and accept and obey the word of God. Number three, pray for unity in the church. Pray for oneness. You know, one thing I love about sports is when you're on a basketball team, a football team, anybody who plays sports, y'all know some people on your team, you don't even really like them as people. Amen. Anybody play sports know you have people on your team, I don't even like this Bama. But we got one goal. We trying to win a championship. So his personality, but we can be one, we going to be one in purpose. And the reason why we ought to be, that there ought to be unity in the church. All of us have different personalities, but we don't have to all believe the same, agree on the same thing, but we ought to be in one goal. Why? Because we serve in one king. We got one mission. Pray for unity in this church. Pray for unity in the church at large. Do you know one of the reasons why people reject the faith? Because the church is so divided. He said they'll know you're Christians not by your doctrine. They'll know you're Christians by your love. We ought to pray for unity in the church. Yes, Brother Marvin, I don't necessarily agree with your opinion on that, but you're my brother and I love you. So because we're focused more on the greater, on the bigger picture. It ain't about our personalities, it's about him. So we can be one on this. And we can move in unison. Too often, listen, y'all heard me say this a long time ago. It was a story about two guys that gone fishing, and nobody caught fish, and they got to arguing and fussing with one another. And that's what he said. Listen, this is what happens when people who are supposed to be fishing don't catch fish, they fight. When you're out fishing, they were on a fishing trip, they ain't had no fish, they were in their tent, they started arguing and fighting with one another because why? They were frustrated, they weren't catching fish. That happens in church. We're supposed to be catching fish. But because we ain't focused on the mission, we busy fighting over colors of the carpet. Amen. When you focus on fishing, you don't care about all the other trivial stuff. Pray for unity in the church. Pray that there be oneness in this church, but in the church at large. And when there's unity in the church at large, man, do you know how attractive that is? Look at Acts chapter 2. Look at Acts chapter 4 and see the oneness in the church. And then pray for a great harvest of unchurched people. We need to pray that God will bring people who ain't even from the church into the church. A great harvest of unchurched people. That's what God is looking for. We got to get outside of the four walls. Too often churches grow because we just recycling church folk. We got church folk who leave this church and then go to church up the street, and then the churches grow that way. God said, no, that's not what church growth really. I want this church to grow because I want you to grow from the outside in. Go out and win somebody who don't know nothing about Jesus. Somebody who heard about Jesus may be offended by somebody in the church, and let them know, whoo, this is what Jesus is really about. Pray this year for 2023, a harvest of unchurched people. I pray, look, we do think church different now. It's a pandemic. You might not ever have the building all filled up like that, but pray that there's so many people between here and online, we got to figure out some new strategies. Some new strategies. Pray for a great harvest of unchurched people. And you know what? I want to say this, y'all. I'm on this longer than I wanted to be. In order for that to happen, you have to recognize that, guess what? That you are the ministers. Did you know you were a minister? You're a minister. Every member of this church, when you come into here on Sunday, guess what? You didn't come for you. Too often in church, we come to get a word for us. God said, no, you didn't heard the word. You came for somebody else. So when you come on Sunday, come say, who can I love on today? Who have I not recognized that maybe never heard this gospel that I can show love to? Today, when you come on Sunday, get here and say, I want to be early. Why? Because there might be a guest that nobody knows, and I don't want them sitting in there in an empty sanctuary. I want to be there so that if somebody new comes, I can greet them and they can experience the love of Christ just in my smile while I drop my mask down and pull it right back up. Recognize that, look, you play an integral part. It ain't just the pastor. It ain't just the greeters. Every member has a part and a role to play. Everyone. I never forget, there was one church I read about in a book that they had specific people that their whole ministry on Sunday was to come around and look at people and look for people that they had never seen before. They just came to church. I don't even know what they call it. Their job was to go around the whole church and find and see if they could spot somebody who had never been seen before and just go and say, man, hey, how you doing? It's good to see you. Glad that you came today. Can you imagine what that would feel like if for a guest? He said, man, by his loving kindness, he drew us. Amen? Pray for unity in the church. Pray for a great harvest of unchurched people. And then finally, and next, pray for supernatural provision. Pray for supernatural provision. God has been supernaturally providing for this church. Amen, Brother Marvin, Sister Carolyn. Supernatural provision. Pandemic, church empties out. When church empties out, people don't give like normal. But God, guess what? We still here. Recently, I talked to two gentlemen who are pastors, and they found out I was a pastor. I said, man, what's your ministry? Their ministry closed down. The building, lost the building during the pandemic. strictly online. They're trying to keep everything together online because they lost the building. God is faithful. He's been providing supernaturally. And we need to ask God, this year, we want you to do exceedingly abundantly above all. I believe, guess what? Do you know God can pay the mortgage off on this church? He can pay it off in a day. He can pay it off in a day. I dare you to ask him for it. I dare him to ask you. I'm talking to myself. God, listen, I want you to do something that crazy. That's called crazy faith. Ask God to do something that you don't even, it's unbelievable. Why? Because he's that God. God, we seek you for supernatural provision. Provide for us. Y'all know, listen, Brother Marvin knows, people know, I'm looking for a gym in this place. I want to see God provide a gymnasium. Why? Because for the community. But look, there's so many, it could be such an asset to the community. We said, well, we don't have the resources. He does. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Is there anything too hard for God? Ask God for supernatural provision. And then finally, pray for joy in the hearts and lives of us all. Pray that we have joy, that we experience his joy. Amen? We look upward. I might not even finish this. We look upward. That's number one. That's prayer. Number two is we move forward. That's progress. We move forward. If we're going to be all God has called us to be, we got to look upward. We got to be on our knees in prayer. If we're going to be what God called us to be, we got to move forward. We got to, Philippians chapter 3, forgetting what's behind, pressing toward what's ahead, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. We cannot do church by looking backwards. You know, I love track and field, and I love, you know, you see people like Usain Bolt and all these guys run, and I would love to run like that. The only way I could win a race like that is if they were running backwards and I was running forwards. That's the only chance I have. If they turn around and let me run forward, and you know what? The sad thing about it is sometimes that's how we do church. We try to do church by looking backwards, talking about what we did yesterday. You cannot do church in 2023 like you did in 1983. Pandemic changed all of that. I'm reading a book now by Samuel Chan. It's called Change Has Changed. Change has changed. Even the way as a leader, the way you view change has even changed. We can't do church. You can't expect to do church. Go, oh, look, what? Remember we used to do such and such? That's dead now. Can't do it. Too often we get stuck in what we did yesterday. Somebody said, if you spend so much time talking about what you did yesterday, you ain't done much today. Amen, somebody. If we're going to move forward, we're going to progress, we got to look forward. We cannot stay stuck. Yes, the past is beneficial because we look back and we learn from it, but we can't stay stuck there. We got to move forward. We can't just sit there and celebrate what we did in the law. Well, what happened to the way we used to do the love feast? Or when we used to do this and we used to do that? Yeah, that's good. But God has said he's doing a new thing. Same mission, new methods. In order for us to move forward, though, in order for you to move forward, you got to have clarity on the mission. Can you put the mission up there? I want y'all to be clear. I want us to be clear on the mission. One of the reasons that God put it on my heart for us to put that mission statement in the lobby, so when you come in here, every time you come in here, you're clear about what we call to do. We exist, Encounter Life Church exists, number one, to exalt God's presence. That's worship. We exist to enlarge God's kingdom. That's evangelism. To equip God's people. That's discipleship. To express God's love. That's ministry. And we do it as we engage the culture. If we're going to move forward, we got to be clear on the mission. If we're going to be move forward, church, the pastor can't be the only one who knows what that mission statement is. I consider him a mentor, Pastor John K. Jenkins at First Baptist Glenard. I love Pastor Jenkins, and Pastor Jenkins is great in casting vision. And if I mention First Baptist Church of Glenard, you will say, listen, you'll know they're developing. Come on, somebody. You don't even go to that church. You know, developing dynamic disciples. Why? Because it's, you know it. You in front of you. And I'm here at Encounter Life Church. You got to know we exist to exalt. We are exalting God's presence, enlarging his kingdom, equipping his people, and expressing his love. That and get that a part of my mind. If I'm going to move forward, I got to be clear on that mission. I got to be clear on the vision. What is the vision? Our vision is that everyone who comes in contact with us encounter God's presence, to experience his power, to encounter God's presence, discover their purpose, and experience his power in their lives. As we move forward, as we in 2023 and beyond, if we're going to move forward, we got to be clear on the mission. We got to be clear on the vision, and we got to be locked in with our values. With our values. I encourage you to make yourself familiar with it. If you don't have them, look, we want to get them. I'm going to send them out. You're going to get a text from me today that has the mission, vision, and values. You'll get it in the church text group. You're going to get it. I encourage you to be familiar with it. I didn't even go through the values. The values have the acronym ENCOUNTER. The acronym ENCOUNTER. We emphasize God's word as the final authority. Our values, we value nurturing and loving relationships. Our values, see, we are cheerful givers. Outreach and evangelism is something we focus on. Uplifting worship and needs are being met through community connections. People are being transformed. Every member serves, and it's a place of restoration. If you put that together, it spells encounter. That's what we want to value here as a church. This year, 2023, we want to look upward. We want to move forward. But next thing, we got to change inward. We change inward. That's praise. It was several years ago. Y'all know it's during this time, it's always football bowl games, and they have parades. But several years ago, the Rose Bowl Parade. I don't know if y'all know you've ever watched the Rose Bowl Parade, the Tournament of Roses Parade. One of the floats, they have all these floats to go through. One of the floats actually just broke down. The float just stopped. It wasn't moving. What happened is the thing carrying the float had run out of gas. It had run out of gas, and they finally got gas for it and got it moving again. But the thing that was sad, the company who that float was for Standard Oil Company. The Standard Oil Company float ran out of gas. The company that got the source of all the fuel ran out of gas, wasn't moving. And church, do you know that subs us sometimes? We the source of our power. Sometimes we the one, we stuck. We act like we stuck because, listen, we're short on praise. We talked about it earlier. Look, if we're going to change inward, it's going to require change starts with worship. Begin to praise God and worship him. That begins the inward transformation. And that inward transformation is deeply tied into that is getting into his word. If we're going to be all God has called us to be, we got to look upward. We got to move forward. We got to change inward. Psalm 21, verse 13 says, "Rise up, O Lord, in all your power. With music and singing, we celebrate your mighty acts." Church, if we're going to change inward, it's going to require some personal time of worship. You got to get on your face before God. I encourage you, one of the things that I'm going to, a book that I'm going to recommend to everyone here is this book right here. It's called The Good Book. 40 chapters that reveal the Bible's biggest ideas. And if you want to really bring about inward change, it's going to start with the Word of God. And this book is an amazing, for if you're new to the Scriptures or if you are very familiar with the Scriptures, one thing I love is about this book, it begins, because the Bible, listen, you get 66 books and we read it, but sometimes, I don't know about you, sometimes the Bible can seem overwhelming. Amen? Some people I've heard say, where do I start? Where do I begin? What this book does is called The Good Book, and the author, his name is Darren Spoon. What he does, he takes the 40 chapters in the Scripture that give an overview of the Bible's biggest themes, the story of the Scripture. And he takes each of those chapters, and you start with the chapter, and then there's the commentary on the meaning of it. It is an amazing book, and what it does, it allows you to get a handle on the story of Scripture so that you can understand that God's purpose and plan for your life, and it helps to give you a structure. It's 40 days, 40 chapters. I encourage you. The book, I'm going to put it up again. The Good Book by Darren Spoo. We're going to start. My wife and I, we started it this morning. I encourage you to get your hand on it. It's amazing because it's actually small group material that goes with it. We're going to look at start doing this in our small groups. Because if we're going to change inward, in order that inward change is going to be tied into worship, praise, and his word. Any change that is going to happen, you're going to have any lasting change, is going to start by you spending time in his presence. We look upward. We move forward. We change inward. And then finally, we talked about it, we reach outward. We reach outward. You know what that is? Power and potential. Several years back, the city of New Orleans, their municipal pools were celebrating a summer where they had zero drownings at any of their pools. They had zero incidents of drownings at all of their pools in the city of New Orleans. So to celebrate that summer, at the end of the summer, they did a big party at one of the pools where they celebrated the success. Their lifeguards had not had any casualties for all summer long. And at this party, there were 200 people at the party, and other 200, 100 of them were the staff lifeguards. They had an amazing time where they celebrated the successful summer. And at the end of the party, everybody left and they were cleaning up. There were a few lifeguards left. And sadly, what they noticed, in the deep end, there was a man at the bottom of the pool. He had drowned. In the middle of their celebration, with hundreds of lifeguards present, a man drowned because they were celebrating their success. And they had failed to keep focus on what their real job was. And somebody drowned. My question is, how many people are drowning around us while we be in church just celebrating? How many people are drowning in depression? How many people are drowning in their circumstances, in bad marriages, and feeling overwhelmed with life? And the church has, listen, all the lifeguards with all the tools to save the lives have not even reached out. Church, if we're going to be who God called us to be, we got to look upward. We got to move forward. We got to change inward, but we got to reach outside of these four walls. We got to get outside of ourselves and stop worrying about what we like and what is good, how I enjoy church. God said, no, it ain't about you. It's about enlarging my kingdom. Lord, don't let it be said of us that people around us are drowning while we're too busy having our own party. Celebrating while we're in here. Yes, we want to worship and we want to celebrate, but we do that but with our mind, keeping our mind on the mission, which is, yes, we exalt his presence, but we enlarge his kingdom. The Bible in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And as we go outside of these walls, as we reach outward, we don't do it in our own strength, we do it in his power. You don't have to worry about what to say or whether you're articulate enough. You go in his strength, because that's what he left us here for, to enlarge his kingdom. The Bible says right here, last scripture, John chapter 4, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me from finishing his work. Do you think the work of harvesting will not begin until the summer ends? 4 months from now, look around you. Vast fields are ripening all around us and are ready now for the harvest. Y'all, the harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe. We've gone through a pandemic, global pandemic. People have gone through all kinds of stuff. The harvest is ripe. There, people are looking for answers. And I love it. Andre Crouch has this song that Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Y'all gonna let me sing by myself? He's the answer. We have the answer. And now is the time. Now is it, listen, time is gonna keep moving. The church, the question is, as a church, are we gonna move forward? Are we going to stay stuck? I believe God is doing a great thing. I believe that the pandemic, all of the drama that has happened in our world, God has allowed to wake the church up to be who he's called us to be. And I'm telling you, I can't control what anybody else's church is doing, what any other Christian is doing, but I know in this little branch of Zion, we can be focused. We don't need to focus on what nobody else is doing. We need to focus on the mission that God has called us to do. And when we do that, guess what? His presence will be exalted. His kingdom will be enlarged. His people will be equipped. And his love will be expressed. And guess what? When that happens, people come to the kingdom. And then he gets exalted again. He gets exalted again. Then we equip more people. Do y'all see the cycle? So let 2023 be a year, new year, but we go forward with the same mission. And not only as a church, I encourage you to let that be true in your house. Look upward. I don't know what your situation is, if it's financial, if it's your marriage, if it's your job. Begin to look upward. Stop being in fix-it mode and just get on your face and say, God, call out to him. Cry out to him. Look upward. Look, move forward. Don't get stuck on what happened yesterday. God is calling you to move forward. Begin to change inward. Get on your face before God. Begin to worship him and dive into his word and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when you do that, listen, God will call you to reach outside of your house, reach outside of your four walls and your own neighborhood to reach those and bring people into the kingdom. And when he does that, man, I'm excited to see what God's going to do in your personal life and in the life of this church. Amen? Are y'all ready to see God do some great things this year? God is calling us to be consistent, consistent with the small things. One of the things, I'm going to close with this. I love it. One of my son, a guy who trains him and coaches him, always, he has this, and he trains Yaya too. He always says this, execution is everything. Execution is everything. We could talk about it, but we got to do what? Execute. Execute. Let's execute this year and watch God do some great things. Amen? Can we stand to our feet this morning? Hallelujah. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we worship you, we praise you, and we thank you in advance. I'm excited. Thank you, Lord God, that you're getting ready to expand the walls of this place. Lord, the physical walls and the figurative walls as we go into the internet or whatever, Lord, because you're going to bring people into your kingdom. God, I'm praying this with confidence because it's your will. You said if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. And we know it is your will for you to build your church. And so, God, as this branch of Zion, as this branch of your church, Lord God, we ask that you will expand our territory. Cause us to fall on our faces before you this year. That, Lord, we get in the rhythm of prayer. That, Lord God, we just have conversational, moment-by-moment prayer with you. That we bring every need, every situation to you before we complain, before we worry. God, that we will pray. I pray that as this church, that we as a body corporately will pray for a harvest of souls. That, Lord, corporately we pray for supernatural provision. God, we prepare in this next month, Lord, to go before you in prayer and fasting. And, God, we are begging of you to do great work in this house. God, because we want to see your kingdom enlarged and your name glorified. Thank you for allowing us to participate in your work in the world, oh God. And Lord God, we'll be sure to give your name all glory and honor and praise. Help us not to get stuck in the past, but to move forward. To drive us to your face so that we might change inward. And Lord, get out of our comfort zone and reach outward so we can see your kingdom grow. We thank you. Thank you that we're here in 2023, which means that you've given us another opportunity to get it right. We praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Finally, before I close today, look, as you move into a new year, I want to invite you into a new relationship if you've never come to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. Today, look, your new year, if you want your year to be truly new, you can remain standing. We can read close. If you want your year to be truly new, you need to be in right relationship with God. And that can only happen through his son, Jesus Christ. If you've never come to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life today, he loves you. He's got a plan for your life. And I want to invite you into a relationship with him. A relationship with him can be had very simple. It's as simple as ABC. It's not rocket science. All you got to do is A, admit that you ain't perfect. See, God wants a relationship with you, but we can't have it because we're sinners and he's not. We're imperfect and he's perfect. You got to admit, number one, that you're not perfect. That's the first thing. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Number two, B, you got to believe that God sent his son Jesus Christ to be the solution for your imperfection. You got to believe that Jesus lived, that he died on the cross to pay for your sins, that he rose again to justify you. And finally, C, you got to choose him to be your Savior, to be your Lord. It's not enough just to believe in your head that, but you got to say, God, I want you to be my Savior and Lord. If you've never accepted Christ as Savior and Lord today, or if you're not certain if you have or not, you want to be certain today. You want to be certain that your sins are forgiven. You want to be certain that when you leave this life, you'll go to spend eternity in heaven with him. I want you to pray this after me silently right where you are. Just say, dear God, thank you for loving me just like I am. I admit that I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe that he was buried and he rose again. I choose to invite Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of my life and make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Can you applaud somebody this morning who made that decision? If you made that decision, man, new year, new life. If you made that decision on the first day of the new year to invite, to receive new life in Christ, that's an awesome thing. Amen. I want you, if you're in this house today, if you pray that prayer, I want you to come see me. I want you to do something bold. I'm going to stay right here in this front row, right here. If you pray that prayer, I want you to come find me right here. I'm not going to leave. I'm going to stay here for a few moments. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to say, look, Pastor, that was me. What do I do next? And I'm going to hand you off to somebody who'll show you what to do next. If you prayed that online, look, I want to know about it. You can go to those links on the screen. You could text the word next to that number that is on your screen. And we'll send you something every day for the next 30 days to help you grow in your walk with God. Amen? Amen. Bless the Lord. You may have your seat.
Right. Amen. So before we close, it is Communion Sunday, so we are going to have Communion Sunday, and then I will close us out. So the ushers are coming around right now to give you a little cup. If you don't have one, just kind of maybe slip your hand up, let them know. If you're at home, we invite you to take communion with us as well. You can grab some bread and juice. If you don't have juice, you can grab water. It's fine. It's not really about the physical food. It's really about what it represents. So while they're doing that, or maybe while you're at home grabbing what you need for communion, I just want to echo one thing very quickly the pastor said today, which I think is super powerful. One of the points that stuck out to me was praying for the supernatural. And I just want to encourage you to do that. Do not put God in a box. Pray for whatever it is that you would like, because he's able to do it. So don't leave that option on the table. So I just wanted to share that with you. So now is our time for communion. And this is the time for those of us that are believers in Jesus Christ. Pastor just gave the invitation to have communion. And communion simply is just a representation of what God has done for us. We do this to remember that he died on the cross for our sins. So we will have communion now, and I am going to read a few verses, and then we'll take communion. Give me a second here. There we go. All right. So the first verse comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, and it says, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And we eat the bread. The next verse comes from 1 Corinthians, and it's just chapter 11, verse 25, and it reads, "For as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And we drink the juice. Amen. So that is communion. We are going to now move into our time of offering. And if you're here on campus, folks will be coming around and you can give if you're in the house physically, if you'd like to. If you are at home, you can see different ways to give on your screen, a lot of different ways to do that. If you are here in-house, you will also see ways to give on screen as well. So feel free to do that also. You know, I always make a joke. People talk about writing checks. I don't even know where my checkbook is. Do they still make checks? So there's a lot of different ways to give. So we thank you for that as well. I am very excited about 2023, and I do know that we have some plans for 2023 that are very exciting. All I'm going to say is this, while we're doing offering, I know that there is something coming in February that's very, very exciting. Won't say no more. But I think that you all will be very, very excited about something that we have planned coming in February. So we're looking forward to that and other stuff coming in 2024 or 2023 as well. So again, I want to just say Happy New Year to everybody, to those of you all who are here on campus, those of you all who are joining us at home. I hope that those of you all who are joining us at home will see us here on campus. I would love to see a lot of you that we haven't seen before, maybe meet some of you that we haven't met before. Finally, before I pray, I do want to say there are some light things to eat out in the lobby. I believe there's some fruit right there in the lobby. There's some fruit and water and things like that in the cafe. Please help yourself to that if you would like. It is there for you. All right. So we are going to close out in prayer, and then I will see you all next week. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for a new year, 2023, and thank you for today's message, Lord, and help this church, Encounter Life, to be on mission with what you have given us to do, Lord. Help us to do the things that we need to do to execute, Lord, as you have given us a vision to do so. I also pray in particular for unity in the greater body of Christ as well. In 2023, may we all represent as one family and move forward and impact the culture here in the United States and worldwide, God. So be with us as we start this new year off, Lord. Make your presence known to those that don't know you. Help them to know that you love them and that you want to help them through life. You want a relationship with them, Lord, and may we be the conduits to that. God, bless all that we have going forward in 2023. Be with us, Lord. Stay with us throughout the week. Keep us safe. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I will see you all next week. You are dismissed.